The glow emanating from the chamber floor cast a halo, a constantly moving iridescent pool of light that caressed her hair. Her mother always told her how lucky she was to have these wonderful tresses. They attracted the attention and commentary of numerous great-aunts, acquaintances, and quite a few busybodies, because of their incredible color. There were so many times when she wished her hair was inconspicuous so that people would see her instead of her unusual locks, but she couldn't deny the feeling that she had been given a gift, like a little beggar who had her cupped palms filled with sunlight. She cherished this gift and rarely cut the tresses that inspired her name, just enough to ensure that their shine didn't get dulled by split ends. In the penumbra of the chamber, with the halo reflecting off the candle flame hair, she looked very much like an angel. "Enter," a voice from nowhere beckoned, a soft voice, almost apologetic. Tressa moved forward quietly, and her long skirt simply slid over the floor without fluttering, like that of a Georgian folk dancer. The glow inside the chamber was coming from an unapparent source, with just enough illumination to guide her way forward. She touched the stone jamb and a luminous dust stained her right palm, turning it into an impromptu lighting device for her passage. On the other side of the doorway, a similar room was revealed to her, a mirror image of the chamber she had emerged from. There was one difference she noticed immediately: the iridescent glow surrounding her hair grew larger and more intense, and she could see vague images changing shape inside it, as if an invisible being was playing shadow puppets on a waterfall. She sat in the chair in the middle of the room and gazed at her surroundings. The room was immersed in absolute quiet. "Are you still here?" she muttered, afraid that the answer won't come. A long pause quickened her breath and made her heart beat so fast she could feel her throat tightening. What if it didn't answer, she thought, absolutely terrified. What if she couldn't go back? What if she would never be able to get out of this room? There was no assurance that if she went through the doorway 104 times the 105th time, the doorway will not be impenetrable. She summoned all the emotional control that she was capable of to stay seated in the chair and keep calm. Slowly her breath regained its normal rhythm. Yes, the answer came, matter of fact, with no intention to soothe or cajole. She didn't know how to react to this being that didn't seem to experience her emotions or excuse her lapses in knowledge. It didn't seem hostile, but not particularly accommodating either. Tressa was neither a gregarious nor an easily offended person, so it wasn't the directness and unemotional aspect of the conversation that bothered her. It was her desire for predictable and measurable outcomes that made this type of interaction unsettling. She just didn't know what to expect from one minute to the next. In addition to that, being in a room with nothing to do was something she wasn't accustomed to. Come to think of it, she couldn't remember ever doing nothing before. Her entire life had been a scheduled and planned sequence of aspirations and goals that she worked very hard to achieve. Her ambition carried her forward through hardships, rejections, and challenges, right to the point where this opportunity was presented to her. She had very clear expectations at the time about what the opportunity was going to be like, and they were much in line with her previous experiences, but infinitely more challenging. Like climbing the Himalayas would be to weekend hiking, very few attempt the journey, fewer still succeed in completing it, but those who do get to bask in the glory for the rest of their lives. When she was called to stand up and follow the guide without packing as much as a toothbrush, she thought she was the target of a practical joke. It took the guide's stark assurance to convince her that these indeed were the requirements. That's how she found herself in this chamber, dressed in the summer dress she happened to wear that day, with a very long skirt that made her friends tease her, and an old pair of Roman sandals on her feet. Another person might have been scared out of her wits, but after her initial adjustment, Tressa recovered her logic and decided to learn as much as she could about what made the chamber tick. Apparently, it was designed to interact with her moods, movements, and thoughts. That's why Tressa had developed the strange Georgian dance moves, to avoid bouncing over reactions from her environment. These were more annoying than dangerous, she figured quickly, but ran so intense they made her disoriented and nauseous, so she tried to avoid triggering them. Everything in the room that was not solid seemed to emerge from nowhere. The sounds, the light, the temperature changes didn't have a source point. The furniture, on the other hand, was the most common type possible, some pieces she could remember seeing at discount department stores. All but the chair she sat in, she realized, the chair was different, a strangely ornate antique piece, and she guessed whoever was in charge of the experiment must have found it in a consignment shop. She was seated right in front of the doorway, and she could see very clearly that the equivalent chair in the other room didn't respect the mirror image rule. She glanced furtively at the armrest under her elbow. The intricate carvings on it had left indentations on the back of her arms, but she was so focused on every change, sound and detail in the room she didn't even feel them. "Different, isn't it?" it asked. It highly annoyed Tressa that this entity, whatever it was, didn't make any beans about reading her mind and telling her about it, and even though she admired its superior abilities, she hoped that just once it would make the effort to research human customs and find courtesy. "Yes, it is."
"Why?"
"Why do you think?" it asked. "It is funny how adaptable human beings are." After only 2 days of talking to thin air about her most private thoughts, thoughts that she didn't want to share in the first place, instead of being terrified, Tressa managed to create a relationship with it and even start a squabble. She was irritated by the psychoanalysis and attempted to get up from the chair. "Why do you think?" she parroted sarcastically, but sat right back swiftly when she saw the wall on her right buckle violently in reaction to her anger. She cursed in all the languages she knew, inside her head, of course, for once being grateful that the irritating perpetrator could read her thoughts. She then took a deep breath and went to a happy place in her mind to calm down. The wall bounced back and forth a few times, then stopped. She thought it was strange that there wasn't an equivalent her staring back from the room beyond. "That's why," it said, in a distracted voice. Tressa had the uncomfortable feeling that she was really boring it with questions it expected her to already have answered. She didn't know if it even liked her, or if this entity could understand the concept of liking, but she didn't feel threatened or constrained in any way. At some point in the beginning of the experiment, she tried to make a run for the door, and other than the very violent waves she imparted on her environment through this action, there was no physical barrier to her leaving the place.
"Don't run. You can leave any time you wish.
Slower is better," it commented. Eventually, curiosity got the best of Tressa, and she wouldn't dream of leaving for anything. How many people in this world got to experience something like this in their lifetime? She just wished she understood better what this was, and how to tame the room's violent reactions to the most absurd of her thoughts and moods. Once she almost got squashed by the ceiling for associating the taste of her tea with memories of a babysitter she didn't like when she was 4. There were a few things she managed to control, and she was both happy and proud to have mastered them. For instance, once she started humming a tune and the whole room harmonized with a 100-instrument orchestra and a grand piano solo. A gentle glow touched her hair and set it alight again, bringing out the candle flame radiance, and Tressa couldn't help think that maybe it liked her after all, if not her, at least her hair.
"It is an unusual color," it replied casually. "Can you maybe pretend that you can't hear everything I think?"
"What would be the point?" One of the first questions Tressa asked in the beginning was about the nature of it, whether it was vegetal, animal or mineral, but to her great disappointment, it was absolutely impossible to get a straight answer from the know-it-all. Tressa had a feeling that it didn't know either, and it neither confirmed nor denied her assumption. Something that disconcerted her was that she couldn't figure out how this extraordinary experience she was chosen for, experience so far removed from any expectation of normality, could be applied to life as we know it, or if she ever decided to leave, could she readjust to non-bending walls and having to actually voice her thoughts. She was a little hungry and had a craving for cherries. She lifted her eyes and noticed a bowl full of them on the credenza next to the doorway. She couldn't see through the wall, but she assumed that on the other side, on the other credenza, there was a mirror image of the bowl of cherries. She got up slowly, careful not to lose her balance on the bouncy floor, and as she picked up the bowl, she thought that it was probably the best friend she ever had. The cherries were ripe, juicy, and very flavorful. She loved cherries and ate slowly, savoring them, as the bowl kept getting replenished under her eyes. When she was full, she set the bowl on the desk next to the credenza and turned her back to it, knowing for a fact that it will not be there the next time she looked.
"So, what are you?"
"What do you think I am?" it asked, just as expected. One can't begin to express Tressa's relief in finding some reliable and repeatable cause-effect pairing in this odd environment. She knew she wasn't going to get an answer anyway. She kept wrapping a luminous strand of hair around her finger, absent-minded, and as she pulled on it, it kept stretching.
She didn't even notice as she was walking around the room lost in thought, that the little fiery lock of hair was drawing intricate flourish and writings on the floor, in something that looked like a very old language. The floor glowed a brighter blue, to create contrast, for the golden light patterns. Tressa noticed them after a while, and set everything aside to stare and marvel. What difference did it make that this room was crazy by any human standards, she thought, absolutely mesmerized by the miraculous ever-changing patterns. It would have taken a person a lifetime to create even one of these intricate designs that changed at an ever-faster rate as Tressa's ability to process them progressed. During moments like these she stopped thinking about safety, about how to integrate this experience into her life, or whether anyone would ever believe her if she described it, and just let it take her to all these places in her mind that she could never have created for herself.